Yesterday at the New Jersey campus of our yeshiva, at the Yom HaKol, we had a chance to open up the world of Shipin Dechassim. Open the world of Shipin Dechassim Bechlal, and begin to try to make sense of what's going on in Gimel Yud. And we left off with two major kashas. I'll reverse them from yesterday's order, I think it'll set us up better right now. And we'll begin with a more general one. One of the kashas we left off with yesterday is we described yesterday what Shipin Dechassim is. Yesterday we learned how to translate Shipin Dechassim. Ran says it very elegantly, Hashem Ben Tam, that there could be two different shibudim when if Elisha owes me money, we'll keep the mashal going from yesterday. If Elisha owes me money, so number one, he owes me money. He has a personal obligation. His guf is meshubut, not literally his body, but his guf means his person. His person is meshubut. He personally owes me the money, which means he's mechayev to hand it to me. If he doesn't hand it to me, Bezin will go out after whatever he owns, whether it's the cash in his wallet or whether it's the car, the house, the bike that he owns, whatever it is, he personally owes me the money, and therefore whatever assets, whatever property he has right now, karka, metaltlin, kesef of the works, whatever he owns now can be seized if necessary by the Beis Din and to satisfy to repay his loan. That's shibud haguf. And that seems relatively straightforward. And the Mishnah in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Hey Min Aleph, says that there is a shibud haguf regardless of whether it's a milva b'shtar or a milva peh. Even if there's no shtar, but you owe me the money, and therefore you will have to pay me, and if need be, Beis Din will seize the assets that you own to repay the loan. Ah! Then the Mishnah says, if it's a milva b'shtar, so then there's a second layer. What's the second layer? You can even seize, if need be, nechasim mishubadim. You can even seize property that no longer belongs to you, but they used to own, and now you sold, Elisha sold the property to Tzvi after the loan was made. So if there's a milva b'shtar, so there's a shibud on the nechasim. Not only does Elisha personally owe me the money, but whatever karka he owned at the time of the loan also owes me the money. They are, as the Ran in Ksubis, we were looking at yesterday, as the Ran in Ksubis, B'Shem Ha'otam, points to the Gemara in Bava Basra Kuf Ayin Dalet, a blot earlier, your nechasim, your real estate, are like your arev. They are your cosigners. They are your guarantor. So if you can't pay, then your house, your field, your farm, your factory, your mall will pay. If you still own them, so we don't need shibud nechasim, that's shibud haguf. But if you no longer own them because Elisha borrowed the money and then he sold the karka to Tzvi, so if Elisha doesn't have this $1 million to pay me back, I'm going to go after the karka. Tzvi owns the karka, shibud nechasim. So we left off yesterday. One of the kashas says, what does that mean? Okay, that's what shibud nechasim is. That's what shibud nechasim is. And the Mishnah tells me Bava Basra, it applies only to milva b'shtar. Okay. But what does it mean? Why? Tzvi doesn't own him, like we said yesterday. The fact that Elisha's friends used to come over to his house and raid his refrigerator, that's very nice, but once he sells the house and the refrigerator, potentially, and the food, let's say his mom has sold a fully furnished house to Tzvi. Tzvi got the house and the fridge and the salami, whatever, with the ice cream, whatever was going on there, milch and fleishiks, not together, whatever it is, Tzvi bought everything. It does not mean that Elisha's friends can still crash the house. No. Now it's Tzvi's house and Tzvi's refrigerator and Tzvi's food. Now Tzvi's friends can come crash, but not Elisha's friends. It's no longer Elisha's stuff. So if Elisha's friends can't crash the house, why is it that Elisha's creditor can crash the house? So Elisha owes me money. That's very nice. But it's not his house anymore. So it could have been, if I would have come earlier, but when Elisha's still on the house, if the loan would have been due, you know, I could have taken the house. Okay, but it's not his house. It's Tzvi's house. So if Tzvi owes someone money, I understand Tzvi's creditors can take the house from Tzvi. But But why am I Elisha's creditor, Elisha's malva? What kesher do I have to them? I'm sorry. That's right. I should have been. Maybe I should have moved a little more quickly and taken out his cave. Missed it. Time, you know, timing matters. But now it's his house. Ma pesher adam. Tash number one. B'chal. What's going on with the sheep and the chasm? And the other question was a more specific question. That had to do with our sugya. You remember that our, why are we talking about Sheba Nechasim? Besides the fact Sheba Nechasim is one of the fascinating kind of global concepts in Nashim Zikin, it is specifically front and center where we are at on Gimel, Gittin, Gimel, Amid Beis. Because Gittin, Gimel, Amid Beis, where we're focused on the world of Eid Chassim Karasi, Eid Masir Karasi, as we already last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, developed the Rav's Mahalach, as Rav Shechter presents it so elegantly in Siman Chav Beis and Chav Gimel Eretz Tzvi, that the Machlokas, Rav Meir and Elazar, is really, really a fundamental Machlokas. How, what is Kinyan Shtar? Is Kinyan Shtar giving you a Raya, or is Kinyan Shtar just giving you my Das, the Chzav? Another way of saying that is, are there two types of Shtars, or is there one type of Shtar? According to Rav Elazar, there's only one type of Shtar. It's a Shtar Raya, a signed Shtar. There are other nafkaminas also, by the way. According to Belazar, shtar has to be signed on the work. According to Belazar, shtar also has to be non-forgeable. It can't be a ksava asul his da'if. If I have a shtar written in pencil, so it's very nice that Adam signed on the bottom, but you could erase what's on top and change it. So a forgeable shtar is not a shtar raya. Everyone agrees to that. According to Rabbi Meir, according to Meir, et chsima karasi, it's therefore also now a shtar kinyan, because according to Rebbeir, Eidechsi Makarasi, kinyan shtar means giving the guy a raya. There is only one shtar, and it is a shtar raya. It's unforgeable, it's signed by Eidim, and so on and so forth. It has to be clear, at the muchach mitocho, has to be, the language has to be clear. You know exactly what it's talking about. If things aren't described clearly, it's not going to help. Okay, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, who says no, Eidim Sirikars, he says, Kinyan Shtar and Raya and Shtar, two different things. Yeah, you want to have a Raya subsequently to what the facts are. Of course, it has to be written in ink, and it can be written in pencil, and it has to be signed. It's great. But that has nothing to do, says Rabbi Elazar, with Kinyan Shtar. Shtar Kinyan just means that the Machne, he didn't just say his Das, but he wrote it on paper and handed it over. Okay. You may have to have Eidim watching, at least by getting the Kiddushin, where you always have to have Eidim watching. Kinyan Kesef for Kiddushin also requires Eidim Sakim Adavar. Okay? So a get, a Shtar Kiddushin or a Shtar Gerushin will require Eidim Sakim Adavar. Eidim Mesirah Karsi. You have to have Eidim Mesirah, but the Shtar doesn't have to be signed again in order to be effective, in order to be an instrument. But when the Shtar is instrumental, when it's making something happen, it's creating the Chalos Kinyan. He says, that's just a shtar kinyan. It doesn't have to be a raya. If you want to prove something later, then it needs to be a shtar raya. So in thinking about Rabbi Elazar's shita, the Gemara had pointed us to this Mishnah later in the last parak on Peh Vav Amud Aleph, a clear statement of shita Rabbi Elazar in Mishnayos. And what did he say there? Yeah, he said, fellow gives his wife a get. It's unsigned. But there were Eidim Sira watching, absolutely kosher. Tanakama said, it's not really kosher. Chatchila, maybe, v'diavad. And Blas says, no, kosher, chatchila. It's kosher. Again, it's wrong to do it. If they tikkun ha'olam, the Chachamim want you to protect the wife, or about to become the ex-wife, Chachamim wants her to be protected, that later on she will have. Because we're always sensitive to the needs of others, so we're sensitive to context. Chazal said, you're going to allow a husband to gratuitously give his wife an unsigned get, you're setting her up for trouble. We need to protect her. So when you're going to give the get, we said, make sure it's signed. Okay, so he did wrong by giving an unsigned get. But Lamaisa, it's totally kosher. It's a valid get. She is effectively Nugureshes. Go ahead. She can go ahead and remarry freely. Okay. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar holds Eidim Mesirah Karas. And then he threw in that line about the Govem in the Chasim Meshubat. Someone is also collecting, even with a Shib and a Chasim, the Mishnah Babasa says, Shib and the Chasim is only with a Shtar, even if that star is not signed, because the primary blood are holding the zero kerosene. Unsigned stars still work. Unsigned stars still serve the star kingdom. Who's collecting what? From whom? So that's what we saw yesterday, that the Rashi had two Lashonos. We're talking about, still talking about the get. When there's the get, even if the get was unsigned, not only is she effectively Migureshes from an Evan HaEzer, Isser V'Hetzer standpoint, she's no longer an Isha Zish, but also from a Choshen Mishpat Dini Mamina standpoint, she's entitled to collect Ksuma. Is that what it means? Or does it mean more broadly, a regular Shtar Chov. Even though it's unsigned, it creates Shibud Nechasim. It creates Shibud Nechasim. Which we left off with yesterday. We'll process that a little bit. It sounds like the Machlokes, whether Eidim Esir Karasi even applies to Shtar Chov. Which leads us to a funny place, because even Rabbi Elazar agrees that a shtar raya has to be signed, and a shtar chov is the ultimate shtar raya. I need proof that I lent you money, so I have my shtar chov that proves that I lent you money. I have my IOU note that proves that I lent you money. That's the ultimate shtar chov. Machlok is whether Eidim Esir Karasi, shtar raya. Sounds as though the second Lashon and Rashi, which Tosus, by the way, is comfortable with, the second Lashon Rashi is saying something shocking. That a shtar chov is a shtar kinyan. What does it even mean? What does that even mean? In the beginning of Tosis is Masal, the Gov and the Chasim Shabbatim. Lashon Sheni, Pirish Bekuntris, here in Gimel Beis. Second Lashon Rashi, in Shtar Milvu, we're talking about second case. We're talking about Get Isha, and then we're talking about shtar chov. Mishtar Milvu, new case, Torah alone instead of a divorce, go over to Chasim Mishubad. And Vechein Yor Rebbein Otam Eker, Rebbein Otam supported the second Lashon Rashi. Shoo. He says, you read the Gemara later, Pei Vavim Beis, it sounds like, because the Gemara says, we possibly like Rebbein Otam are Eidim Esir Kas, not only by Get, but even by Shtar Shtaros. That's what he quotes. Kedemashma Perak Bastra, Pevav Mubez. The Mishnah was a Pevav Mubez. The Gemara is now Pevav Mubez. Amarav Halacha Kabbalah, we pass the Kabbalah, the Messiah Karasi, begin. Of course, Benapashai Shtaras. Don't you see from the Hakkas Sani, the Govim, and the Chasu Mishabadim? Alma, the Belazar, Irinami, the Shar Shtaras. That was the Gemara's proof. The Belazar is not just talking about Get, he's talking about Shar Shtaras as well. What's the proof? Obviously, we think Govim Nechasim Mishuvadim isn't talking about a get, it's talking about a different star, a shtar chov. Tom is very comfortable with this. But the question is, okay, maybe the Gemara sounds like that, but Bisvara, what on earth does this mean? Shtar chov is a shtar kingdom. Bizarre. So those are the two questions. Now, in the second question, the specific question, what's going on in Daf Gimel and Beis? Ruchanan points out that the question gets even worse when you look at the Gemara. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Bava Basra. Right, we had again, you saw the Mishnah. And how many show of hands? I assume everyone saw the Gemara on Kufan Yehavis. No. So let's take a look again. What did the Gemara get? The Mishnah said, Halacha l'maisa, milva b'shtar has shibud nechasim, milva apet does not. There's a machlokes amoraim in the Gemara Ula and Rabba. Well, what did Ula and Rabba both agree about?
Shtar has more rewards.
Okay, there's more call by shtar. Well, halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah says shibud sometimes exists, sometimes doesn't.
They'll agree at some.
There's one other point that they agree on. Let's take a look at the Gemara inside. Amar Ula, Devar Torah Echad Milva B'Shtar Echad Milva Peh Gov Nechasim Mishubad. Min HaTorah, there's always Shibud Nechasim, even if there's no Shtar. Really? Gemara says, my time. Shibud Daraisa. Ula holds that Shibud is a concept Min HaTorah, and Min HaTorah it applies across the board. Now, Torah applies to the cross, but either Mishnah said there's no Shibud Nechasim if there's no star. That's midrabanan elamatam amru. Why did they say, they meaning the rabbis, why the chachamim said that midrabanan milva penagova elam in the chasim b'nei chorin? Why the chachamim said that midrabanan there's no sheep in the chasim by milva pe, and therefore you can only be golden from b'nei chorin, from free assets, the assets that the lova still owns at the time of collection? You know why? Mishum seder de lekuchas, because we don't want Svi, the fellow who bought the property from Elisha the lender, with Elisha the borrower, we don't want Svi to lose that poor guy. What did he do? He doesn't owe me money. Okay, sounds familiar. We're sympathetic to that. The Gemara says, well, if you feel so bad for Tzvi, you should always feel bad for Tzvi. You should get rid of Shibu Nechasim Atar. Yachim Milva Bishtar Nami. Even if there was a star, still. What does it matter whether... How was Tzvi helped by the fact that Elisha and I had a star chov? The Gemara says, I'll tell you how it helps him. You have to think about the psychology of the situation. Hasam inu ninu daf sidin avshayev. If it was a milva b'shtar, so then it was Svi's own fault. He caused himself the loss. Why did he cause himself the loss? So the Gemara doesn't explain here, it explains in a couple of lines that it, what happens psychologically or socially, if there's a shtar chov, if I lend Elisha money privately, there are two eidim watching. Okay, so who knows? I know. Elisha knows. And the two other guys know. Will everyone know? No, Elisha's not telling anyone. He's alone. There are two aides and two outside parties who may or may not talk. Oh. So word may not get around. It may stay pretty quiet that Elisha borrowed $10,000 from me. What was it yesterday? $1 million. Raise the stakes, $10,000. $1 million bucks. $1 million bucks. So will people know that Elisha is carrying an obligation of $1 million? Not necessarily. But if there's a shtar, that's already more of a hullabaloo. Because now that you have Aden, you have to bring in a sofer for those who stuck around for the mock Cedar Agate. Yes, again, Cedar Agate is unique dinim you're not going to have by other shtaros. But b'chol, writing a shtar is much more of an event than just something happened and two Aden were watching. So the Gemara is going to say, in the context of Rabbah, but Al-Pitashis is true for Ula as well, that if there's a shtar, there's a kol. If there's a shtar on an event, people will hear about it. There's already, you have your sofer involved, it's gonna get around. It was a hak. It's going to become a hak. If there was a shmilva b'shtar, people will know. What does that mean? Svi could have known. Svi decided to buy land from Elisha. If he would have done his due diligence and asked around some questions, he would have heard that Elisha is carrying an obligation of $1 million because it's the middle of the shtar. There's a call. It gets around. So he could have found out. So either he did find out and he took the risk knowingly and said yesterday, maybe he negotiated a better deal with Elisha. Okay, so he accepted the risk. Or he was negligent. He didn't bought. He bought a piece of property from Elisha without doing his due diligence. He could have known. So inu ninu daftiu nafshayu. He caused himself the loss. Why didn't you do your due diligence? Why didn't you act responsibly? So chachamim don't feel the need to make takanas to protect the guy who could have protected himself. So if it's a milva b'shtar. It's a milva b'shtar, it's a knowable, it's a more easily knowable, discoverable event, and therefore, we don't feel the need to protect the lekuchos. They could protect themselves. So we're not going to suspend shibun nechasim by a milva b'shtar, but a milva peh, poor guy, Elisha borrowed money just to aid him watching. How's Svi supposed to know? Maybe he did do his due diligence, he asked around, and no one knew anything, because it stayed quiet, because it's a milva peh. So that's why, so again, Ula says, Ula says, Min HaTorah, and Halacha Maisa B'Zvanaza. Ula says, Min HaTorah, regardless of whether it's a Milva B'Shtar, or a milva ba'al peh, Ula says there is a shibud. There is a shibud. But halacha l'maisa, Chazal said there's no shibud by a milvav. There, because what? Say the nilkuchas. Worry about these poor. By milv b'shtar we left and the din d'oraisa. That's the position of Ula.
What does Rava say?
I said, Rava says, Nain. Rava, I'm a Gevara Torah, Echad Milva B'Shad, Echad Milva, Eino Gove, Elam, in the Chasim, in the Chorin. Minah Torah, you never collect sheep in the Chasim. What does that mean? My time, I'm Shibud, Alav, Daraisa. Rava holds, there's no such thing as sheep in the Chasim. Minah Torah, there's no such thing. Elisha owes me money. That's the end of the story. I lent him money, he owes me money. He has a personal obligation. Whoever heard, if I haven't yet shaken Lulav and Esrig, then it's Sukkot, so I have to shake Lulav and Esrig. If I didn't shake Lulav and Esrig, but I have a pet monkey, I have a pet robot, I have a mannequin, I own a clothing store. So if I didn't shake Lulav, does my mannequin have to shake Lulav and Esrig? Does my robot have to shake Lulav and Esrig? Does my pet? No, of course, I'm chayv in Lulav and Esrig, not my property. So Rabbi says, I owe you money, so I owe you money. Well, what does my property have to do with it? My property doesn't owe you money. I owe you money. Elisha owes me money. Shibud Agav, ain't no such thing in the Torah as Shibud Nechasim. So Rabbi would say, Echad Milva B'Shtar, Echad Milva Baal Peh, in the Torah, there's nothing. Shibud Lavdaraisa. The Mishnah says Milva B'Shtar is Govim Nechasim Mishubadim. Says, yeah, Mata, that needs explanation. Matam Amru, why again, why they? They mean once again the Chachamim. Why they make a Takan Draban that Milva B'Shtar Govim Nechasim Mishubadim? They created the whole Shibud Nechasim, it sounds like, according to Rabbi, is a creation of Mijabana. They created this new kind of Shibud Nechasim. Why? Shalom, Timel, Dallas, Bifnei, Lovin. We've seen this before. They were worried, saw this earlier in the year, they were worried about credit markets. They were worried, people were very scared to lend money. People need money to get off their, to get on their feet. People need money to launch a business. But who wants to lend money? I'm going to lend you money, and if you either legitimately, spend the money poorly or invest unwisely, or if you abscond with the money, so I'm left with no recourse. The guy doesn't have it gone. So Malvim were people with capital weren't interested in lending it. So Chachamim create a new concept, Koshib Nechasim, will give the creditor a little more security. He knows that if he can't go after the debtor himself, he can go after the property. And who benefits, by the way? It's Latovas whom? It's really Latovas the debtor, right. By giving the creditor more security, the debtor will have more access to credit. It's really so that people who need to borrow, we don't want the door to be slammed in the face of would-be borrowers. So the Gemara says, 1 second, if you're creating a shibud nechasim, so why don't you create it across the board? Why not make it a little pen? No. There's no kol. In other words, we created it by Milv B'Shtar Mijabana. One, Shlotin Odalas. But we left the Din D'Oraisa by Milv Alpeh because we're worried about Pesach the Lekuvos. Because there's no kol. Because Milv B'Shtar has a kala. It's just a psychological reality. Milv Alpeh, less like kol. And that's presumably something that both of them agree to. Well, also, as we said, Mulav B'Shtar has kala. Mulav Peh, less like kala. So, what do you see? Halacha l'mayis b'zman, that they both agree. That Mulav B'Shtar has shib n'chasim, Mulav Peh does not shib n'chasim. Mulav B'Shtar has shib n'chasim, Mulav Peh does not shib n'chasim. Both agree because that's what the Mishnah says. Rabbanu l'amaron. So their starting point is the time of the rule of Kufayin Hayim and Hoth, and that's non-negotiable. What they argue about, though, is what was the original Din D'Oraisa, and how do we get here to a Din D'Rabbanan? Or to put it differently, The Mishnah has two dinim. The Mishnah on Amud Aleph, Kurban Ham Alp, has two dinim. Milv Bishtar has Shiv Nechasim, Milv Peh does not have Shiv Nechasim. So if you want, what you could think of is if I were to color code Mishnayas, if I were to put out an edition of Mishnayas where I put all the dinim Daraisa in, I don't know, black, and all the dinim Rabbanan in blue, which part of the Mishnah is black and which part of the Mishnah is blue? Or let's say I put all the dinim Daraisa in green, all the dinim Rabbanan in blue. So here are dinim Daraisa, but I don't see them in Mishnayas. And Minatora, Ula says, there's always Shiva Nechasim. And coming to the Mishnah, the fact that Milv Bishtar has Shiva Nechasim, that's a dinim Daraisa surviving. Shibula Daraisa. It's a Chiddush Midrabanan that they got rid of. Midrabanan, they got rid of the Shibu Nechasim by Milva Peh, and instead said Midrabanan, no Shibu Nechasim Milva Peh. Whereas, again, we're using green, green for Daraisas and blue for Drabanans. Whereas Rabbah says, Pum Faker, the Din Daraisa, that does not appear in the Mishnah, so put it in the same dotted line. The Din Daraisa is, there's never Milva, there's never Shibu Nechasa, Shibuda, Lav Daraisa. Right? Ula holds Shibuda Daraisa. Shibuda means Shibud Nechasa, Shibud Aguf, Pashas, everyone holds. Ula, Rabbah holds no. Shibuda, Lav Daraisa. Midrabanan, Halacha Lamaisa, I should say, that Din Daraisa only persists by Milva Bapeh. Milva Bapeh remains Shibud Nechasim free, but Midrabanan, they X'd out that. No Shibud Nechasim by Milv Bishtar. Midrabanan, they created Shibud Nechasim by Milv Bishtar. Right? So they both agree that to the two dinim halacha lemaisa in the Mishnah, that there is Shibud Nechasim by Shtar, but there's no Shibud Nechasim by Peh. But which half of that is the right, which half is Rabbanan, that is Machlok. Good. Okay. So let's rephrase that a little bit. Again, one way to talk about the machlokas is it's Shibu Nechasim and Daraisa concept or Jabbar concept. Shibu Daraisa, Shibu Lab Daraisa. Okay. Another way of saying the machlokas, Rabbah, Ula and Rabbah, is which of the two deem in the Mishnah is Daraisa in green, and which of the two deem in the Mishnah is Rabbanan in blue. Another way of phrasing this, to ask you before, what do they both agree to? What do Rabbah and Ula agree to? So someone said, well, they agreed to the Din Halacha Maisa Mishnah, which is true. Right? Don't disagree on why. Someone else said they both agreed to the concept of Kala. Right? That's certainly true. And it's relevant to both of them. That's just Doraisa concept. It's just a Metzias. A Metzias of Kala, which Rachamim took into account in crafting what the Din Drabbanan should be. There's something else that they both agree to. They both agree that the distinction between Milva Bishtar and Milva Bapeh is a Drabbanan distinction. The fact that we separate them is Drabbanan. I'll put a blue bar here. They both agree, Rava and Ula, that Min HaTorah there is no distinction in terms of Shibud between Milva Bapeh and Milva Bishtar. They both agree that Milva Bishtar and Milva Bapeh and HaTorah are the same thing. The question is, which same thing? They both are the same thing that yesh shibud, both are the same thing that ain shibud. And the Rabbah and Ula both agree that the distinction between Milv Bishtar Milv Peh and Tzimah Shibud is a distinction midrabanan. Either Chazal changed it in by Shtar, or they changed it in by Al Peh. But Min HaTorah, the Rabbah and Ula both agree that Min HaTorah, Shibud, the Milv Bishtar Milv Peh have the same shibud steps. Make sense? Says Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, they published the Kovitz Shiurim, The first round of Kofet Shiurim is a classic Kofet Shiurim. It's his Shiurim on six different notes of the Chana Wasserman's Shiurim in Baranovich. It's six different Masechtas, two from Moi, two from Nashim, two from Zikin. If I remember correctly, I think it's Psachim, Beitzek, Sukkos, Kiddushin, Rav Kampo, and Basra. The Masorah in our yeshiva is that Rav Drillman, one of the last of the European Rashi yeshiva in YU, was certainly a Talmud of Elchanan. He used to tell Meisim in his later years, Meisim from Baruch Hanan, he's not Baruch Hanan Baranovich. So the Masorah in yeshiva, I think substantiated, is that Kovet Shiur and Beitza is based on Rav Drillman's notes. Be that as may, consider the fact that the Bacharim in Rav Chanan's Shir were not much older than you. A lot luckier than you, they got to your Shir from Rav Chanan. Look what you're stuck with. But their notes, they were taking notes if it came, Kovet Shiur. Guys, your age, maybe they were 19 years old, not much older. You gotta have hasagas of what you can accomplish. You gotta be ambitious. So there's the Kovet Shiurim is published as a two-volume set. The first volume is Kovet Shiurim on six Masechtas. The second volume, Kovet Shiurim Chayil Beis, is a potpourri of different things. About Duraisa's Rabbanan, there's other things. So one of the many parts of Volume Beis is a section called Kovet's Biurim, which begins with Kovet's Biurim on Gittin. Kovet's Biurim Masechas Gittin, Os Beis, right over here, Rav Chanan points out, Rav Chanan talks about, first piece is about Eidach and Bisurin, second piece is about our sugya. Kovet's Biurim, Chelek Beis, which again you'll find in, excuse me, Kovet's Biurim on Gittin Siman Beis, which you'll find in the second volume of the Kovet Shiurim set, and Kovet's Biurim Masechas Gittin Siman Beis, Rav Chanan says, one second, what's going on? He started with two kashas. Kasha b'chal, what does Shibin Chasmi even mean? How does it work? Why doesn't make any sense? I'm going after Tzvi, what Tzvi do? But the second kasha was, what's Bashtet and Machlekes? What are they arguing about? Dovin Chasmi Shibadim, Shtarchov, no Shtarchov, what does it mean? Shtarchov is Shtarkin, it's so strange. Rav Chanan says, and it's even stranger, because You're saying, well, the whole Shibin Chasm has to do with the shtar. No, it doesn't. Min HaTorah, shtar has nothing to do with Shibin Chasm. Either there's always Shibin Chasm in HaTorah, or there's never Shibin Chasm in HaTorah. But Rav Chanan points out, as we just noticed, Min HaTorah, shtar versus Alpeh is an irrelevant distinction. That chiluk does not exist, at least with regard to Shibin. It could be other than Nafkiminas, obviously Nemanas, but that the chiluk between shtar and balpeh is irrelevant min haTorah as regards shibud. Either there's always shibud or there's never shibud. So what on earth is the Gemara doing? The Mishnah, but the second pshat in Rashi, which Rav Eitan loves, saying edim esir karasi has to do with shibud nechasim because the shtar chov is dry. What does that even mean? The shtar chov is just midrabanan about it's about kol. And the only role of the Shtar Chov is, as we said, it's a practical matter. You told me before that both Rabbi and Ula believe in Kol, and Kol is the reason why Mid Rabbanan we differentiate between Shtar and Bal Peh. Because Shtar is going to get out, Bal Peh won't get out. So if it's the middle of the Shtar, Tzvi Lekuchos, he could have known, either he did know, or he could have known if he would have been responsible. So we don't have to protect him. See, the minute Torah Jabbanan, he's going to be hit with a Shibu Nechasim. But, Milva Balpeh, there's no coal, doesn't get around as much, it's not a hak. So, Svi Lekuchas, poor guy, he couldn't find out about the Milva Balpeh. It wasn't a discoverable piece of information. So, we're going to protect him. Either we're going to stay with the Din Daraisa, that there's no Shibu Nechasim, or we're going to actively destroy, remove the Shibu Nechasim to protect him. But the whole distinction is a practical psychological question of kol. When there's a shtar, it's a hak, there's kol. When there's no shtar, it's not a hak, there's no kol. That's all it's about, Rav Chanan says. It's a distinction between Rabbanan, and it has to do with kol. It's not about the shtar at all. So what on earth is the second sheet in Rashi, which Rabbeinu Tam embraces, What do you have to do? All we have to talk about is the Mesir Kasi, the Chasim Kasi, the Lumdus of Shtar. What Lumdus of Shtar? This isn't about the Lumdus of Shtar. This is about the psychological reality that making a Shtar makes a Hak. And man not making a Shtar doesn't make a Hak. So we could discuss, will a signed Shtar have more Hak than unsigned Shtar? It's a good question. And more people involved. But that has nothing to do with the Lumdus of Reb Meir, Reb Elazar, how's the King of Shtar work? You said, practical psychological mitzvahs. What makes a call? And it's all midrabana. I mean, the psychological reality is a reality, and it's relevant to the how Chazal crafted the midrabana. Perfect timing. So now we fully appreciate, now that we've begun to appreciate the Gemara, Rabban Ula, hopefully you got clarity, Gemara, Rabban Ula, and we appreciate that once you understand, did scratch beyond the surface of Kufay and Hay, you find that the whole distinction Kufay and Hay, the Mishnah Kufay and Hay, is a drabbanan distinction based on a psychological reality of Kol, then it's a Tema. What's Pshat in Rashi's second Pshat? Which Rabbi Yotam embraces. They're very nice. He found the Gemara in Gittin Pei Vav. That sounds like it. But hello, go back to the source. But the Basa Kufay and Hay and Beis, that's no Kesha. So Rabbi Chanan leaves it b'tema. He says, I don't know. He says, this is bizarre. Well, how do you make heads or tails? At least in the notes, he leaves it b'tzarachim. So what we're going to do tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, is we're going to see, we'll join the Rav and maybe also the Shiva Sion, in seeing that the answer to the first kasha will give us the answer to the second kasha. If we can crack the nut of what is Shiva Nechassim, how does it even work at all, the kasha which we ended yesterday and began today, why is the creditor have any more power over the property lakuchas than the friends crashing the fridge? If we can figure that out, so then we can hopefully also figure out all that will come back to explain Gimel and Beis and understand what's pshat in the second and pshat in Rashi.